Welcome back, WNST, Jackson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Our Wise Conversations, of course, brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets, and I am back from the Crab Cake Tour. You can follow along at the Crab Cake Tour. That is the hashtag. All of our sponsors threw us out on the road. Dennis Colatsis threw me out in that blue Bronco across the Bay Bridge, and my wife did most of the driving while I navigated with very little Wi-Fi along some mountainsides and roadsides, and we actually talked Wi-Fi with the governor. Now we're going to talk, well, Wise Conversations, and I think feeding people here with our friends at Wise Markets. Dennis Curtin is our friend, and we haven't had you on in a couple of months. I enjoyed the segment 6 months ago so much because the Crab Cake Tour was taking shape. I know you've been home sort of watching and hashtagging and all of that. Yeah. And you told me, get to Frostburg, get over to the Eastern Shore, see what's going on in Southern Maryland down there, Solomons and Lexington Park. And what a beautiful state we have here, even though I know you're up in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we've been in Maryland since the 60s, and we're all over. We have 52 stores, but a couple of years ago, we bought a bunch of stores from another company, from Delhaize, and so we got to explore the Eastern Shore. But one of the things that caught my attention, and I just didn't know enough about Maryland's geography, is Cumberland and Frostburg, and we spent some serious time there because every week, we would sort of introduce the new associates to the company. We would have a sort of a meeting where we had lunch, where we talked about who we are, where we gave out private brand products to all our new associates. And I was really impressed with Cumberland and Frostburg. It's mountainous. It's sort of isolated from the rest of the state. It's closer to Altoona than Washington, D.C. And when I went to look at what media market it was, it's part of the Washington, D.C. media market, even though it has more in common with Altoona, PA.
Well, it was Steelers country, and I knew that going in, right? So, and you're up in Pennsylvania, of course, and we're here. And I had the whole triangle. I was in Frederick on Saturday night when the Ravens were playing the former Washington football team in the preseason game where our running back got crunched. So, and that's, you know, half the bar was burgundy and gold. So the state, and then I go up to Elkton in Cecil County and I went into the Wise Markets up there. That's Eagles country, you know, and has been from the beginning of time. So it's sort of split in that way, but I have driven into Hancock, I mean, more times than I can count. I mean, I'm an old Houston Oilers fan before the Ravens were here. I used to go to Pittsburgh, the Three Rivers, to see Warren Moon play, right? So I've been I love Dan Pastorini now. Don't get me started on him. That's my man. But I still should have won that game. Renfro caught that ball 42 years later. But I would always go up on 70, right, where you hit the Breezewood and you take Breezewood.
Sure.
In my life, I think I had been west. It was before 68 existed. It was a state road then that went out toward Cumberland and Frostburg. I went to Ohio Pile to Whitewater Raft down the Youghiogheny. And it was so long ago, and I know exactly when it was because it was a cicada summer. So it was 1987. It was 34 years ago. Sure. So I hadn't been out there. I don't remember much beyond Lindy's restaurant and coconut cream pie. I don't remember what Cumberland looked like or whether I ever saw it. I know I've never been to Deep Creek. I know I'd never been to Oakland. I'd never heard of the Savage River. I had never heard of Swallow Falls. So all of these things that I didn't know about, that I started the map and talked to people like you about what I would find there. I had always wanted to go on the Western Maryland Scenic Railroad. I saw it on an MPT special with Rhea Fiken years ago. And I said, if I ever go out there, I'm going to ride that railroad because it looks cool, awesome, different. I've never been on that kind of train. So this trip was about bucket list things. I had never been in a real waterfall, literally in my life, until my wife and I walked in Swallow Falls. I had never been fly fishing until Dan Rodericks took me out. So Cumberland was – we fell in love with Cumberland. No, we caught one little rainbow trout. We fell in love with Cumberland, and we stayed in downtown Cumberland. We're so happy we did. And we went out with friends of ours.
There's like a courtyard or something.
Yes. Well, our friends have a Planet Fitness there, and I took him out for a crab cake, and he's a lifer. And I had a wonderful hour and a half just talking to him about life there and Steelers fans, and he's a Packers fan and like all of that, but how challenged the community is. And like when companies come in like Planet Fitness or Wise and create employment, it's a big deal in any of those communities, and having and feeding people, which is, I guess, what we're together about right now. Feeding people across the state. I saw some very economically challenged people. People talk about Baltimore and poverty. It's here, but this goes on across our country, Dennis.
Yeah, it's prior to the pandemic, there were about 42 million Americans nationwide who lived in food insecure situations. The best estimates I've heard is that that number's now 45 million, somewhere between 1 in 5 and 1 in 7 people live in food insecure households between Pennsylvania and Maryland. And half of those are children. So the past 18 months or so since the beginning of the pandemic, these have been times of quiet desperation for food banks. I'm sure you talked to Carmen at the Maryland Food Bank.
And the beginning of COVID, when the predictions, you know, and I don't know, the reality is when you're hungry, it's dire. I mean, when it is, my father, and I think I've spoken to you, but my father grew up in music up in Clark Summit,
yes.
Born in 1919. My father starved in 1929 and told me about it the rest of his life, literally standing in soup lines, Herbert Hoover, chicken in every pot. I heard all of that all of my childhood. My father would always say, if you got a dime in your pocket, put some food in your mouth. And like, and that comes from his generation and the war and, you know, coming down to Baltimore and getting a job in Martin Marietta out of the hills. We're there again in a lot of places and a lot of people in need. And that's been very, very highlighted, I think, at the beginning of COVID, where we saw the lines for people waiting for boxes of food to feed their children. And it's important, the work you're doing.
We've heard that 40 to 50% increases across the board for our regional food bank partners. And we have a program called Fight Hunger. September is Hunger Action Month. And so what we do is, you know, we give our customers a chance to donate $1, $3, $5, and $10. Are the standout increments. If you want to give $500, you can do that. We're certainly not going to turn it down. Also, something that we've discovered, and we're, you know, 18 months ago, there was a coin shortage because of the pandemic. So we decided to give our customers a chance to round up when they did self-scan.
By the way, I do it every time now that you've told me about it. You know, every time I check out, I round up, just do it.
The average roundup is 42 cents a transaction, and it has gone to support great causes, most notably hunger, but others like animal rescue, pet rescue, veterans, American Heart Association. So all of these streams are coming from our customers, but at the same time, we're also donating on our own. But 6 years ago, I went to another part of the country to see one supermarket company's program. And I'm not going to name them because they're reputable and they're really capable operators. And they would run this program where they would just collect money from their customers. And they did a great job. They would just get huge amounts of money. And, you know, it became pretty clear that they had no skin in the game other than what they were doing, putting their labor, their location sort of to work and putting their shoulders into things. But they weren't giving a dime out of their own pockets. And I don't know about you, but I've always sort of thought, you know, if you're going to ask customers to donate generously or to consider a donation, you, the retailer, you, the company, should donate as well. So like probably in the last year and a half, probably $2 million in terms of what we've donated in terms of in-kind donations and cash donations. It makes you, I feel good about it. I feel good about my company for doing that. We're part of the community. We like to say locally focused, locally connected. A lot of our competitors, I mean, you know, their headquarters, their ownerships, they're sometimes across the Atlantic Ocean. Other times they're across the North American continent. We're local. We live and work in the communities we serve. You know, if people come to your stores two or three times a week, They want to know that you're part of the community, and this is a good way to do it, and it's a great cause.
Well, I tell you what, you being a part of what I'm doing at Baltimore Positive, and I see you, I see you in Oriole games, I see you doing other things in the community, but when I'm out, now that I have this association with you, when I'm in stores and I, you know, I see the uniformity of the stores, the quality of the stuff you do, my wife's really enjoyed walking through the stores. We have this fascination with C2O coconut water that we love, and it was hot on the road, and we were putting them in the cooler. They have little pulp in them, you know, they're delicious. And we were jumping into stores, you know, in Southern Maryland, over in Easton. In the mornings, we were getting fruit every morning, fresh cut fruit. It was blueberries, strawberries, melon, every morning in the stores, just stopping by. And I guess in every community, the anchor part of that is there's you and there's a handful of other supermarkets. We can name them, right? But there aren't that many.
Yeah.
And to sort of stand out to say, I'm going to shop there all the time. It's, well, that's the store closest to me, or that's the one where, you know, they have the products I want, or I like their meat, or I like their produce, or I like their selection. But there's also the part where, like, people know each other. And for me, there's no doubt about it. I mean, honestly, when I was in these small towns, the one thing with my long hair and, you know, my Raven shirt on down in Redskin country or whatever, I did go in and thought, like, everybody here kind of knows everybody. And that's a feeling that we had all month long that I'm probably going to talk a lot about how friendly people were. You know, we were just walking around Cumberland and some gal, believe it or not, Dennis, was walking her cat. And we wound up just striking up a conversation with you know, someone on the street walking a cat. That doesn't happen much in Baltimore, you know. And I think there was just some small town charm to a lot of this that maybe speaks to a company from Sunbury that you understand that, you know, pretty well, because that's how you built your business, right? Town to town.
We grew out of small towns. Sunbury, Pennsylvania is on the Susquehanna River. That's where we got our start. And we spread out to all of the small towns. And then the next thing you know, we're getting into places like Baltimore or Harrisburg or Lancaster or York. Obviously, Baltimore is a lot bigger than Lancaster or York. But, you know, small towns, medium-sized towns, larger towns, that's how we got started. And one of the joys of this job is anybody can go to Paris, and Paris is a great place. But I mean, you go to all these smaller towns and you see a slice of Americana, the culture, the people. And, you know, right now it's kind of a tricky time, you know, with all sorts of things swirling around. But you go to these towns and you say, boy, this is a nice place. Somebody said, go live here. It'd be okay. And you know, a great town that I've been to, Frederick's great. We're talking off air, offline about Brunswick, Maryland, and that's a fabulous town.
I didn't make it to Brunswick, Maryland. So, I am, just so you know, because you're my sponsor, I'll make a little wise conversation pronouncement. I'm actively keeping the Crab Cake Tour alive. We're going to be doing the Crab Cake Tour every Friday and doing it in Baltimore the next 6 months, but it's my 30th anniversary and I did 30 crab cakes. I've already had people reach to me from Rocky Gap. They're like, we've got the best crab cake at our casino. You got to come. I've had competitors out in Deep Creek where I went to Silver Tree. They're like, you got to come have our crab cake next time. Salisbury, they're upset that I had their fratelli crab cake. There's three other places. So next summer for my 31st anniversary, I think we're going to do 31 days. I'm going to make it through the 31st day of August, and I'll make Governor Larry Hogan join us on the 31st of August next year instead of on the 30th as he did yesterday. And, you know, part of this is there were some places I need to get back to. Like, I drove through Leonardtown. I want to stop in Leonardtown next. We didn't spend enough time there. We didn't get out of the car enough in Southern Maryland because it was raining sideways the day we were there. Yeah. We're going to stop in Indian Head and do a little more next time. So there's some things, but Brunswick. Fill me in on Brunswick.
In Brunswick, Maryland, it's like a bifurcated town in the sense that there's this downtown that's been around for a long time. It's older, you know, it neighborhoods, sidewalks, houses are right next to each other, smaller backyards. And then in the outskirts, there are these new developments. And one of the great things about Brunswick, Maryland is that there is a really robust train station there that people just, they can jump on the train and be in Union Station under 90 minutes. So it's become a commuter town as well. So it's right on sort of it's Maryland, it's West Virginia.
It's right by Harper's Ferry. I just didn't, you know, the craziest thing.
Harper's Ferry is amazing.
Dennis, the crazy thing on the tour is I'm looking at the map right now. Matter of fact, I'll just open my Google map and pull it up here and I'll share it with the audience that's watching out online. But we were in Sharpsburg because we were going to Antietam. Yes. So we came down from Hagerstown to Sharpstown. We actually drove into West Virginia for a couple of minutes and went over to Martinsburg and then came back out. But we never went south. I have a dear friend and a client at Big Cork Vineyards, which is one of the most beautiful places. If you've never seen the view of this mountain range, and we drove through Gathland State Park into Arnoldtown and back up through Middletown to get to Frederick, where we had our tasting room crab cake here in downtown Frederick. So it was on the fringe of where I should have gone. We had Harper's Ferry signs. My wife said we can whitewater raft there. And I said, yes, we can. So Brunswick will be on the tour next year. How about that for you?
Yeah. With Brunswick, we had a site many, many years, and we finally built a store there. And it's been a tremendous success for us. It's a really well-run store. You know, the great store crew, a couple of great store managers. And In advance of the opening, I went down to check it out and get the lay of the land, you know, where we're going to set up for the ribbon cutting and all things like that. It's the end of the day. So I'm hungry. Like it's 3 o'clock and I haven't eaten anything since breakfast. So I go into town. There's a brew pub and, you know, there's lots of brew pubs all over the place. And I go sit down and I order a beer and I realize they don't have a menu. And the guy goes, oh, there's a sandwich shop next door. And I go, okay. So I ordered a sandwich and had a beer and a sandwich. And the guy turned out, the bartender was the owner. And he was showing me around. And he was working on the upstairs. And now we're in downtown Brunswick, you know, it's like a tight neighborhood. And he shows me this banquet room, this dance hall that he's working.
It's got to overlook the river and be incredible, right?
No, it's not. It's just a dance hall in the middle of town. There's no view or anything like that, but it reeks of history. It's got a lot of good bones, but obviously it needs a lot of work. And he's showing me, he said, you know, I'm going to have weddings here. This is going to be great. And you're thinking, this is like sort of the American small businessman, the guy who aspires, he's working hard. And then he said something that really it's like, huh? He goes, Patsy Cline used to sing here. And then you realize it's right off 81. She lived in Winchester, Virginia. So it's a very easy drive to Brunswick. She lived in Frederick for a little bit. And then you're just thinking, the white voice of God used to sit here. It's just like, so those are the kinds of, you know, little stories that you come across in Sharpsburg, Antietam. I mean, you know the history. That was a really awful, you know, a lot of Maryland citizens, you know, lost their lives.
You know, Dennis, I went out there and I found it to be almost a little macabre. You know what I mean? Like war. Yeah. And literally, I'm out on that battlefield when we're getting out of Afghanistan. Like, it had been in the news in the morning and I'm out there. And the visitor center is closed. They're remodeling it. So it's sort of been a little bit of a trailer for right now. Right. And it was really hot, you know. And we went out. And I've been to Gettysburg. Dennis, by the way, Dennis Curtin is here from Wise Markets, our friend and wisdom warrior out there. I've been to Gettysburg so many times. As a kid, we did field trips up there, you know, Emancipation, you know, Gettysburg, like all of that, Abraham Lincoln. I've been up on that battlefield a dozen times in my life, in my 52 years. Hadn't been recently, but my wife's been up there two or three times, and her dad is a Vietnam veteran who, you know, likes to go to B&O railroads, likes history, likes battle trails, has done the Civil War stuff in Baltimore and been up on the monuments. But Antietam is one of those things that I've been to Big Cork's probably three or four times. And again, this is what I admitted to the mayor of Salisbury. I admitted it to everybody. When you're on 50 going to Ocean City, you only stop to get beer or go to the bathroom. You're either young enough that you want to get there because you're a kid, or young enough because you want to chase girls, or old enough that you just want to get there because you paid a lot. You just want to get there. So you don't stop and see things, right? And I would say the same things for when I go to Pittsburgh for a football game, which is every year, sometimes twice.
Sure.
I stop in Breezewood and pee and maybe get a ice cream cone and move on. And there's all of these things, Nema Colon and Falling Water, like all of these amazing things that are on that road that my wife has now discovered. She's like, oh, 31 next year. Wow. We're going to take a little detour.
Nema Colon is fabulous. And Falling Water, I have not been there. I should have been there. At one point, I knew somebody.
Well, you'll meet me there. Well, meet me there next summer. But I guess my point is, we go and do this, and you don't realize, like, the Antietam, just spending the day there.
Yeah.
It will be a place we will go back to, hopefully not on that hot a day, and explore a little bit more, because it was just stunningly beautiful, but also very, very sad.
Yeah. Of all the days in military history for the United States, that was the day when the most casualties occurred. And when you consider it might have been 150,000 people who were in the battle versus, say, in Europe in World War II, when it was, three quarters of a million people. I mean, it was a really lethal, dangerous situation, and the stakes were enormous. You're right about Gettysburg. And also, if you really want to experience Gettysburg the way the soldiers did on those days, be there in a searing hot day. And Gettysburg gets really hot. I'm sure you know that.
Put some wool on.
Yeah, it was – Gettysburg was ghastly hot, and I've been there in July, and it's like, holy cow, how did they do anything there, let alone fight this epic battle? And that's our history. And if you go through all parts of Maryland, you will find things: Underground Railroad, tribute store, industrial and commercial past. And it's out there for the finding. And if you use crab cakes to sort of get into these towns and find out about these towns, I mean, that's how Anthony Boudrain did it. And it's just, food is a way to learn about communities and history and heritage and culture. And it's a fun thing to do. I mean, I bet you had a great time.
I have not left Wise out of the crab cake tour. On the 19th, the day the Ravens play the Chiefs, I'm going to be with Rob Santoni out at the Fullerton location. As he says, store 206. I'm learning all of this. So he's having a crab hootenanny. He's bringing crabs and making the signature crab cakes. And Dennis, the one thing I have been looking for local crab meat and seeing what you sell in various places around the state, east, west, and central. And this time of the year, and crab went to $60 a pound. And I've been all over Cambridge talking to crabbers and different people about the issues and H-2B visas and Ben Cardin, and I talked to Governor Hogan about it yesterday. So all of that being said, there's going to come a point where I'm going to go to Wise and just buy a proper pound of Maryland crab meat, and I'm going to come home, and my wife and I might buy 2 pounds, and my wife and I are going to put all the ingredients out. No, just two. We're not going to have that many friends over. It's COVID. And I don't want to share my Maryland crab meat, especially if it comes from, Choptank River. And it's sweet, late season female robe. So it's fat. It's good. So we're going to take all of these things people have told us to put in crab cakes. Worcestershire, dry mustard, Dijon mustard, regular mustard, mayonnaise, triple yolk mayonnaise. That's the secret of the Jerry's crab bomb down in Bowie. Various creams, various spices, various Old Bay's, Chesapeake's, J.O.'s, black pepper, white pepper, green and red minced pepper, pimento, celery seed. Whew, parsley, and I'm not going to put it all in one crab cake. I think I'm going to take elements of various crab cakes and maybe try to make 12 or 15 different. And with my wife, just us, maybe my son and his wife, just sit here and make them and delicately broil them in various techniques. High heat, where you get that caramelized crusted bottom and a nice sort of crunchy top, but not a fried top, and that beautiful flakiness inside. This is what I've been doing. 41 crab cakes in 30 days, Dennis.
I can tell.
I gained 10 pounds.
Once you revert back to normal, you'll be fine.
I'm hydrating in my Wise mug. Tell everybody once again how they can help to fight hunger and all the things we're doing. And I'll tell them how we can get a crab cake together on the 19th out in Fullerton.
With Fight Hunger, we started it in about 2008. And since the beginning of our program, we've raised $4 million. And that also includes our donations as a company. And what happens is every year it gets bigger. And the way it works is we work with the regional food banks, who then recommend local food pantries, shelters, other local hunger programs. So each
100% of this food getting in mouths.
Yes, absolutely. And what happens is it's more like it's the donations that are converted into food. I mean, because of the pandemic, when we first started, we used to say, hey, canned goods, have at it, donate it. And the food pantries would come and take it away.
And we did that as a radio station. Right. We did coats and we did canned food. We did it every single year, you know, and it would, people would drop off bags of stuff out on Hart Road, little one lane road at my radio station. And we would literally, Joe Enoch would have to get his delivery trucks to come over and pick it up and take it. And we would donate it to Maryland Food Bank every year.
But with the pandemic, there are fewer people to process and sort it out. It's just, so what it does is, what we do now is donate, it will be converted into food for these food banks and these local food pantries. Every food pantry is going to benefit from those donations. And so what happens is, we're on track. We hope that we're going to do at least $500,000 in this period, you know, in terms of raising money, donating money. And that's going to be converted into, the big thing with food banks now is they can get calories, but are they the right calories? So what they're trying to do is they're trying to get fresh products. And that's what food banks have been doing the last 10 or 15 years. They used to have these ramshackle warehouses that weren't very good for storing fresh products. Well, they've raised money and they've upgraded their facilities. Maryland Food Bank's a really good example. You go,
I would think refrigeration would be everything.
Yeah.
Properly. But the last thing you want to do is make people sick. I mean, there's a part of me that thinks like there's a lot of food spoilage in the back of every Y, something goes bad, gets rotten, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah. We work at sort of reducing food waste. That's what it's called. You know, we could do a whole segment on our sustainability. And one of the components there is food waste being turned into compost.
Let's do that next month for sure. You tell me when we do it.
You want to do it April when it's
Important. It's just so important as
it
we
is.
Trash up. You know when I knew it was important, Dennis? When I was in Hawaii a year and a half ago, and the first time I walked on Hawaii beach, I looked down and all I saw were little pieces of plastic of all color.
Oh yeah.
Washing up on the beach.
Yeah.
And they reminded me of the little bread and milk plastic tabbies we had 30 years ago that we didn't know any better. And when you see that next to a turtle on the beach in Hawaii, you clean your act up. You want to start talking about more than box scores for a living. You know what I mean?
Well, just to tell you, like in terms of how we've evolved, if an eye round, if it's like the last day before it goes out of code, what we do now is we throw it in the freezer and then the local food bank picks it up. If it's frozen, it's still in code. So you give it to
a recipient. Becomes a pot roast tomorrow that feeds
people. Right. You give it to a recipient and maybe they have it a week later. It's like when you thaw this, you have to cook it immediately or throw it away. But I mean, still, it's good, viable product. And it reduces your food waste. It reduces cost as well.
And it's a blessing in someone's stomach next week, right?
Yes. And that's what we've been trying to do. I mean, yes, we donate. Yes, we raise money. But we have a distribution facility where another food bank comes and claims like all the dented cans, you know, that get sent back, you know, products that have been replaced and the vendor doesn't want them anymore. So that's a big stream as well for our food bank partners. And then they push it out. Maryland Food Bank has hundreds of local partners, you know, the faith-based organizations that have the little pantries, the shelters that in summer, you know, what happens to the children who are in subsidized lunch programs, you know, the free lunch program. Well, there are all sorts of summer programs and food banks support those as well. And that's why we want to partner. We think there are a lot of great causes out there, but the ones that we want to focus on are the ones in our communities. And with food banks, there's nothing more local than fighting food insecurity in your communities.
Don and I spent some time with Carmen Del Guercio last year. Sure. It's time that I get him back on. We'll circle back. Dennis Curtin's here from Wise Markets. I want to remind everybody on the 19th, I'll be out in Fullerton. And I had this mug everywhere I went because it's insulated and Rob gave it to me. So I've been using this well out on the road, staying hydrated.
Good. That's important in this weather.
All right. Crab cake for you and me sometime soon. All right.
Okay.
Get well soon. Dennis Curtin, our friend from
Working
Wise Markets, on here with another Wise Conversation talking about all things Brunswick. I knew having somebody on right away, they'd mention the one place I didn't go, not all the places I did. So I'm going to wind up getting all the places we didn't go next year. The 30-30 tour is out.
We didn't even talk Hagerstown. Hagerstown's a cool town. Yeah.
Hagerstown, we had a great crab cake in Hagerstown.
Yes.
In a place that was like a speakeasy, but we went and had a beautiful German meal. I can't pronounce the place. Something Stubby. And it was right downtown, and we sat outside. I got two mosquito bites and a delicious pork cutlet. It was outstanding. So we're discovering more than just crab cakes. You know, we don't put that online. But yeah, Hagerstown, Frederick. Yeah. My whole life, I haven't been to these places, but I'm going back. I'm Nestor. You can find me anytime, anywhere out on social media, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, as well as in our Wise Conversations. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.